Moments I Wish I Could Take Back 3. Last time, I shared about my 3 years at Duke University, during which, although I grew and learned a lot, it wasn't that it was a terrible time, but I took poor care of the temple, that is, the body. It was awkward and unnaturally forcing spiritual conversation at inappropriate times, in classes, even in my assignments and my papers, and especially making false distinctions between spiritual and unspiritual. One activity may be unspiritual, another activity may be almost identical, but if it's carried out in a spiritual way, it makes it a spiritual activity. That evening, I declined to join my fellow classmates to celebrate our Greek professor. Could have been a very spiritual time, a time of sharing our hearts, planting seeds, showing respect and honor. But for me, it was by definition non-spiritual, just like my intramural soccer league. Distinguishing between what is spiritual and what is unspiritual is probably a lifelong endeavor for someone like me, the way I'm wired. You know, when I went to grad school, I thought I had little to learn. I mean, surely I know more Bible than a lot of my teachers. At least that's what people seem to tell me. But I'd only been a Christian 3 years, not even. And probably one of my favorite scriptures the year before was Psalm 119, verse 100. You can look it up on your own, but you can see the kind of attitude. But the truth is, there's a lot to learn from our professors, even at a very liberal institution like Harvard Divinity School. But I didn't think I had much to learn. But of course, it was different with the more technical classes, with Hebrew or Buddhism, or the doctoral level Greek I was working on. But I thought, apart from things that are fairly black and white, mechanical, I won't have much to learn. For example, my first term, I was in a pastoral counseling class. I dropped that after one day. Why did I drop that? Well, I do remember I disagreed with how they handled one passage of scripture. But now I realize that class probably would have helped me enormously, but I simply wasn't ready for it. I had a placement, like an internship, that first term, and I was a chaplain at a hospital. Now, I was young, right? I'm 20 years old. I'm not exactly mature, put it that way. I guess technically I was 21. That's right. It was a few days after I turned 21. But I was at a chaplaincy in a hospital called Uville, previously called Holy Ghost Home for Incurables. I would go from bed to bed, from room to room, and sometimes I would get into spiritual conversations, sometimes more friendship. I was starting to learn the importance of that. Sometimes there's nothing you could do because the patients are they're comatose or they're simply sleeping. But yes, I did bring my Bible with me as chaplain, and I did share with some of the patients. The nurses complained. My supervisor called me in, and I remember her telling me, "You have a lot of anger in you." I didn't agree. I mean, I knew there was something in me that didn't feel right, but anger? Really? But I continued to work, but eventually I was called in again, and this time with a number of the fellow chaplains. There were about seven or eight of us. One night, we were sitting around in a circle. It didn't go well, and I was released. I was fired from chaplaincy. And I would say someone like me never should have been given that opportunity. I wasn't mature enough. Well, that's not my most glorious moment. There's a lot of pride. There are things I could have, should have learned better from my professors. I had a good GPA, it was a 3.8, but that doesn't mean I was a great spirit, humble, and learning. Let me share about some of the theological gaffes. My first Sunday in grad school, I had five visitors who came with me to church. One of them was especially eager. His name was Sam. But we got into a discussion in the following week about the social gospel. He wasn't saying he didn't believe that we should preach the message of salvation, but that had implications in the social realm, and we should care about things like justice. I argued with him. I said, no, all that matters is people being saved. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. There was no trace of nuance in my thinking or my presentation of that very black and white thought, and not surprisingly, we went our separate ways. I cringe now. I remember another argument I had with a seminarian named Bernie. Bernie was a very unusual fellow, very international fellow. He was half Japanese, and he only had one eye. And so he would stand very close. He'd have to hold books and papers almost just a couple inches in front of his good eye to even be able to read. But he was a good thinker. And we were talking about the resurrection and the body. And I was saying, of course, you don't need a body in heaven. Or when Paul says it's a spiritual body in 1 Corinthians 15, it's more like vapor or, you know, something, well, certainly nothing physical, because physical's not good. At that time, I was thinking that physical in some ways is the opposite of spiritual. The opposite of spiritual is unspiritual, not physical. And we argued for 3 hours. He tried to persuade me. And I went away thinking I was right. Well, I was writing a book about 32 years later, a book on heaven and hell and the afterlife. By this time, I had come around to understanding, yes, the body is good. Physical is not bad. God created the physical. We'll be resurrected in a resurrection body. There's a certain kind of physicality to it. And I remembered, oh, Bernie was right. No, in the days of social media, I was able to track him down. I found him. And I asked him, do you remember me? And that long conversation. He said, yes, I remember you. And I said, and Bernie, I was totally wrong. Bernie is a Catholic priest. He remembered the conversation. Not surprisingly, I did. And the good news is I was able to apologize and say, I was wrong. I should have listened. You know, this was an exciting time. The years in graduate school. I made a lot of mistakes, but did some things right. It was exciting in the church. There was a real buzz because there was so much evangelism going on. I helped a couple of Harvard students become Christians and a few at other colleges and a number in the United States Navy. But I could have done better. If I could go back, there's some moments I would definitely have wanted to do over. And I know we all feel that, but let's not dwell in regret. Let's learn from the past. Next time, we'll be in London because in 1982, I had the honor to be part of a church planting in London. Thanks for listening. I hope something here is helpful to you. Feel free to email me if there is. Let me know. Thanks.